Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Let us pray. Holy Father, we do thank thee for thy word, which showeth us how we may live in this present evil world in a manner pleasing to thee. We pray that we'll bless thy word to our hearts now through Christ our Lord. Amen. As I said last week, the first 11 chapters of Romans were the theological, the doctrinal portion. And as Paul usually does in his pastoral epistles, he then gives the last chapters over to sanctification. The first 11 chapters were focused on justification by faith alone. If we are lost sinners without any hope of paying for our sins or removing them, we can have them removed by Jesus Christ simply by faith in him as Lord and Savior. Now the rest of the epistle is sanctification, how we as justified persons are to live a holy life. In this brief portion today, we are confronted with one of the most difficult challenges of sanctification. How do you react to those who mistreat you? Our old nature is almost hardwired to seek revenge. It's automatic for the old nature. But the Lord is requiring of us is to overcome evil with good. Totally opposite of how the world functions. Repay evil done to you by doing good to those who have attacked you. Repay them with good. Now, this is such a challenge to the old nature that we need to always seek by prayer the assistance of the Holy Spirit that we may do it. Now, let's begin with verse 14. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Those persecute you, bless them. Now, the word bless has two meanings in Scripture. One is to do good for them. And we're going to find out in a few verses we are indeed to do that, but that's not what it means here. Here it's in contrast to cursing. Instead of cursing, bless them. Now to bless means to pray for their good. Pray that God will bless them. The reaction to someone who persecutes you, pray for him to be blessed. Not to curse. Now, in our common speech, curse means any bad word. And a bad word is usually the Anglo-Saxon word instead of a Latin equivalent. But curse in the Bible means something specific. It means to pray for the evil to fall upon someone. A curse is something like, damn you, that's a curse. Or may you burn in hell, that's a curse. It should be argued that many of the Old Testament prophets cursed their enemies, and they were holy men. Remember Elisha? He was walking down the street, and some juvenile delinquents came out and ridiculed him for being old and bald-headed. He turned and he cursed them in the name of Jehovah. And the Lord responded to this curse by sending bears out of the wood to kill these delinquents. But what we need to remember is Elisha was a prophet. He was functioning as an instrument of God's wrath. So what he did was an inspired act. That's why God acknowledged it. Because the curse causeless cannot come. But you and I are not prophets. We have no right to curse anyone. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. If you have the Spirit of Jesus and the love of Jesus, then you will be like Jesus. You know, Jesus was sympathetic. Sympathetic comes from the Greek sympatheo, meaning to feel together. You feel what others are feeling. If somebody's rejoicing, you don't say, why does he get all the breaks? You rejoice with him. And if someone is mourning, you don't say, it's not my problem. You can't be indifferent to your fellow human. So if you're a consistent Christian, you'll be like Jesus, a sympathetic person. You feel towards others as you would like them to feel towards you. Be of the same mind one toward another. Being of the same mind doesn't mean being of the same opinion. That's very unlikely to happen. If you're a Phillies fan and your friend is a Yankees fan, you don't have to accept his assessment of your team. You can have your own opinion. But this is more about feeling. Be on what we used to say, the same frequency. You know, you're in agreement with people. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Well, this meaning is clear. Don't be a snob. A good Christian is not a snob. He doesn't consider himself more highly than he ought to think. Jesus was not a snob, was he? He had friends who were very wealthy and in high positions, like Joseph of Arimathea. And he had friends who were common laborers. And he was equally friends with both. Every person you meet is made in the image of God and deserves your respect, regardless of his education or his wealth or his social status. Remember, Jesus said to enter the kingdom, you had to become like a little child. A little child is open, teachable, and he's humble. You know, you don't see a little child who's a snob. They're not even aware of social distinctions. Recompense to no man evil for evil. This, again, is the very opposite of what your old nature longs to do. You've heard the expression, don't get angry, get even. It's a sweet desire to the old nature. Solomon says, do not say, I will do unto him as he hath done unto me. Retaliation and revenge against those who've done evil to you, a very strong desire of the old nature. And that's why I said, we need to pray that the Lord will help us to subdue it. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. His children should be peaceable to all men, not only Christians, but to the heathen. Whoever your fellow human is, try to live at peace with him. Now, the apostle does qualify this. He says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, because we all know it's not always possible because of the wickedness of some people. King David tried his best to live at peace with King Saul. And Saul still kept trying to kill him. The scripture says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. That's a general truth, but it's not an absolute truth. In absolute truth, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's always true. This is a general truth. Jesus' ways pleased the Lord. It didn't make his enemies at peace with him. It made them want to kill him. We have to interject here that seeking peace with all does never mean compromising truth or integrity. Peace at any price. Many of you know that what ruined the old Presbyterian Church USA was the evangelicals who wanted peace in the church. Great majority of ministers in the PC USA in the 1920s were evangelicals. The modernists were a minority. But the evangelicals' motto was peace at any price. We can agree to disagree. Okay, you don't believe in the virgin birth. Well, let's not disturb the peace of the church over this. We can all just get along. Of course, that kind of compromise to accomplish peace just brings ruin. St. Paul was a man of peace, but he stood boldly for the truth in face of great opposition. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. You may have a strong desire to seek vengeance, but you're forbidden to do it. Vengeance is not your calling. It's not your responsibility. It's God's. It's God's work, and he does it in different ways, sometimes by extraordinary providence. Fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah, for example. People get struck by lightning. Or he can do it, as it says in the next chapter, through the civil magistrate, who's a minister of vengeance. But it's not your ministry. You're not a magistrate, and you're not God. Give place to the wrath of God. Get out of the way and let him do his work. Now, this does not mean that you should long for the wrath of God to fall on your enemies. That's the opposite of what Paul is teaching here. It simply means that you should not wish for his vengeance, that you should let the Lord do what he's going to do, even though you're praying for your enemies. And to show that this is proper, Paul proves it from the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 32:33. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. It's a quote. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. So here we're told, it's not enough that you just don't take vengeance. And it's not even enough that you don't take vengeance and you even pray for those who curse you. But you have to actually do them good. You have to repay their evil with good deeds. Food and drink is simply symbolic of helping them in any way you can. Repaying them with good. And when you do that, and this is a quote from Proverbs, you'll heap coals of fire upon their head. This means the conviction of the Holy Spirit. In fact, conviction, that burning conviction and shame. When they've done you evil and you do them good, if it's strong enough, it will lead them to repentance. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Here we have the summary and the conclusion of this teaching. Two things, a negative and a positive. Don't be overcome with evil. When you're mistreated, it can overcome you. It can overwhelm you with anger and desire for revenge. You get conquered by it. Don't let it overcome you. Instead, you overcome the evil with good. Goodness has a mighty power when God is in it. Subdue your enemies with kindness and not by injuries. Amen. Dear Lord, this is a hard saying, but we long to be like Jesus. And we do pray that thou will give us the grace to obey this commandment. In Jesus' name, amen.